brass, iron, stony mould, had not their mouths with hideous orifice gaped on us wide, portending hollow truce? At each behind a seraph stood, and in his hand a reed stood waving, tipped with fire, while we, suspense, collected stood, within our thoughts amused. Not long, for sudden all at once their reeds put forth, and to a narrow vent applied with nicest touch. Immediate in a flame, but soon obscured with smoke, all heaven appeared from those deep-throated engines belched, whose roar embowelled with outrageous noise the air, and all her entails tore, disgorging foul their devilish glut, chained thunderbolts and hail of iron globes, which on the victor host levelled with such impetuous fury smote, that whom they hit none on their feet might stand, though standing else as rocks, but down they fell by thousands, angel on archangel rolled, the sooner for their arms. Unarmed they might have easily as spirits evaded swift by quick contraction or remove, but now foul dissipation followed and forced rout, nor served it to relax their serried files. What should they do, if on their rush to repulse repeated and indecent overthrow doubled, would render them yet more despised, and to their foes a laughter? For in view stood ranked of seraphim another row, in posture to displode their second tire of thunder, back defeated to return they worse abhorred. Satan beheld their plight, and to his mates thus in derision called. "Oh, friends, why come not on these victors proud? Erewhile they fierce were coming, and when we, to entertain them fear with open front and breast, what could we more? Propounded terms of composition straight, they changed their minds, flew off, and into strange vagaries fell, as they would dance. Yet for a dance they seemed somewhat extravagant and wild, perhaps, for joy of offering peace. But I suppose, if our proposals once again were heard, we should compel them to a quick result." To whom thus Belial, in like gamesome mood, "Leader, the terms we sent were terms of weight, of hard contents and full of force, urged home, such as we might perceive amused them all and stumbled many. Who receives them right? Had need from head to foot well understand, not understood this gift they have besides they show us when our foes walk not upright." So they among themselves in pleasant vein stood scoffing, heightened in their thoughts beyond all doubt of victory, eternal might to match with their inventions they presumed so easy, and of his thunder made a scorn, and all his host derided while they stood a while in trouble. But they stood not long. Rage prompted them at length, and found them arms against such hellish mischief fit to oppose. Forthwith, behold the excellence, the power, which God hath in his mighty angels placed. Their arms away they threw unto the hills, for earth hath this variety from heaven of pleasure situate in hill and dale. Light as the lightning glimpse they ran, they flew. From their foundations loosening to and fro, they plucked the seated hills with all their load, rocks, waters, woods, and by the shaggy tops uplifting bore them in their hands. Amaze, be sure, and terror seized the rebel host. When coming towards them so dread they saw the bottom of the mountains upward turned, till on those cursed engines' triple row they saw them whelmed, and all their confidence under the weight of mountains buried deep, themselves invaded next, and on their heads main promontories flung, which in the air came shadowing, and oppressed whole legions armed. Their armour helped their harm, crushed in and bruised into their substance pent, which wrought them pain implacable and many a dolorous groan, long struggling underneath, ere they could wind out of such prison those spirits of purest light, purest at first, now gross by sinning grown. The rest in imitation to like arms betook them, and the neighbouring hills uptore. So hills amid the air encountered hills, hurled to and fro with jaculation dire, that underground they fought in dismal shade. Infernal noise, war seemed a civil game to this uproar, Horrid confusion heaped upon confusion rose, and now all heaven had gone to rack, with ruin overspread. Had not the Almighty Father, where he sits, shrined in his sanctuary of heaven secure, consulting on the sum of things, foreseen this tumult, and permitted all, advised, that his great purpose he might so fulfil, to honour his anointed Son, avenged upon his enemies, and to declare all power on him transferred. Whence to his Son, the assessor of his throne, he thus began, "Effulgence of my glory, Son beloved, Son in whose face invisible is beheld visibly what by deity I am, and in whose hand what by decree I do. Second omnipotence, 2 days are past, 2 days, as we compute the days of heaven, since Michael and his powers went forth to tame these disobedient. Sore hath been their fight, as likely as 'twas, when two such foes met armed. For to themselves I left them, and thou know'st, equal in their creation they were formed. Save what sin hath impaired, which yet hath wrought insensibly, for I suspend their doom. Whence in perpetual fight they needs must last endless, and no solution will be found. War wearied hath performed what war can do, and to disordered rage let loose the reins, with mountains as with weapons armed, which makes wild work in heaven, and dangerous to the main. 2 days are therefore past, the third is thine. For thee I have ordained it, and thus far have suffered that the glory may be thine of ending this great war, since none but thou can end it. Into thee such virtue and grace immense I have transfused, that all may know in heaven and hell thy power above compare, and this perverse commotion governed thus, to manifest thee worthiest to be heir of all things, to be heir and to be king, by sacred unction thy deserved right. Go then, thou mightiest in thy father's might, ascend my chariot, guide the rapid wheels that shake heaven's basis, bring forth all my war, my bow and thunder, my almighty arms, gird on, and sword upon thy puissant thigh. Pursue these sons of darkness, drive them out from all heaven's bounds into the utter deep. There let them learn, as likes them, to despise God and Messiah, his anointed king." He said, and on his Son with rays direct shone full, he all his Father full expressed, ineffably into his face received, and thus the filial Godhead answering spake. "O Father, O Supreme of heavenly thrones, first, highest, holiest, best, thou always seek'st to glorify thy Son, I always thee, as is most just. This I my glory account, my exaltation and my whole delight, that thou in me well pleased declarest thy will fulfilled, which to fulfil is all my bliss. Scepter and power thy giving I assume, and gladly I shall resign, when in the end thou shalt be all in all, and I in thee for ever, and in me all whom thou lovest. But whom thou hatest I hate, and can put on thy terrors as I put thy mildness on, image of thee in all things, and shall soon, armed with thy might, rid heaven of these rebelled, to their prepared ill mansion driven down to chains of darkness, and the undying worm, that from thy just obedience could revolt, whom to obey is happiness entire. Then shall thy saints unmixed, and from the impure far separate, circling thy holy mount, unfeigned hallelujahs to thee sing, hymns of high praise, and I among them chief." So said he, o'er his sceptre bowing rose, from the right hand of glory where he sat, and the third sacred morn began to shine, dawning through heaven. Forth rushed with whirlwind sound the chariot of paternal deity, flashing thick flames, wheel within wheel undrawn, itself instinct with spirit, but convoyed by 4 cherubic shapes, 4 faces each, had wondrous, as with stars, their bodies all, and wings were set with eyes the wheels, a beryl, and careering fires between. Over their heads a crystal firmament, whereon a sapphire throne inlaid with pure amber and colours of the Shari arch. He, in celestial panoply all armed, of radiant Urim, work divinely wrought, ascended. At his right hand victory sat eagle-winged. Beside him hung his bow and quiver with three-bolted thunder stored. And from about him fierce effusion rolled of smoke and bickering flame, and sparkles dire, attended with 10,000,000 saints. He onward came, far off his coming shone, and 20,000 I their number heard. Chariots of God, half on each hand were seen. He on the wings of cherub rode sublime, on the crystalline sky in sapphire throned, illustrious far and wide, but by his own first seen. Them unexpected joy surprised, when the great ensign of Messiah blazed aloft by angels born, his sign in heaven. Under whose conduct Michael soon reduced his army, circumfused on either wing, under their head embodied all in one. Before him power divine his way prepared. At his command the uprooted hills retired, each to his place. They heard his voice and went, obsequious. Heaven his wonted face renewed, and with fresh flowerets hill and valley smiled. This saw his hapless foes, but stood obdured, and to rebellious fight rallied their powers, insensate, hope conceiving from despair. In heavenly spirits could such perverseness dwell? But to convince the proud what signs avail, or wonders move the obdurate to relent? They hardened more by what might most reclaim, grieving to see his glory at the sight, took envy, and aspiring to his height, stood re-embattled, fierce, by force or fraud, weaning to prosper, and at length prevail against God and Messiah, or to fall, in universal ruin last, and now to final battle drew, disdaining flight or faint retreat, when the great Son of God to all his host on either hand thus spake. Stand still in bright array, ye saints. Here stand, ye angels armed, this day from battle rest. Faithful hath been your warfare, and of God accepted, fearless in his righteous cause. And as ye have received, so have ye done, invincibly. But of this cursed crew the punishment to other hand belongs. Vengeance is his, or whose he sole appoints. Numbered this day's work is not ordained, nor multitude. Stand only and behold God's indignation on these godless poor. By me, not you, but me they have despised, yet envied. Against me is all their rage, because the Father, to whom in heaven supreme kingdom and power and glory appertains, hath honoured me according to his will. Therefore to me their doom he hath assigned, that they may have their wish to try with me in battle, which the stronger proves, they all, or I alone against them, since by strength they measure all, of other excellence not emulous, nor care who them excels, nor other strife with them do I vouchsafe. So spake the Son, and into terror changed his countenance, too severe to be beheld, and full of wrath bent on his enemies. At once the four spread out their starry wings, with dreadful shade contiguous, and the orbs of his fierce chariot rolled, as with the sound of torrent floods, or of a numerous host. He, on his impious foes, right onward drove, gloomy as night. Under his burning wheels the steadfast Empyrean shook throughout, all but the throne itself of God. Full soon among them he arrived, in his right hand grasping 10,000 thunders, which he sent before him, such as in their souls infixed plagues. They, astonished, all resistance lost, all courage, down their idle weapons dropped. O'er shields and helms and helmed heads he rode, of thrones and mighty seraphim prostrate, that wished the mountains now might be again thrown on them as a shelter from his ire. Nor less on either side tempestuous fell his arrows from the fourfold visage four, distinct with eyes, and from the living wheels distinct alike with multitude of eyes. One spirit in them ruled, and every eye glared lightning and shot forth pernicious fire among the accursed, that withered all their strength, and of their wonted vigour left them drained, exhausted, spiritless, afflicted, fallen. Yet half his strength he put not forth, but checked his thunder in mid-volley, for he meant not to destroy, but root them out of heaven. The overthrown he raised, and as a herd of goats or timorous flock together thronged, drove them before him thunderstruck, pursued with terrors and with furies to the bounds and crystal wall of heaven, which opening wide, rolled inward, and a spacious gap disclosed into the wasteful deep. The monstrous sight struck them with horror backward, but far worse urged them behind. Headlong themselves they threw down from the verge of heaven. Eternal wrath burnt after them to the bottomless pit. Hell heard the unsufferable noise. Hell saw heaven ruining from heaven, and would have fled affrighted, but strict fate had cast too deep her dark foundations, and too fast had bound. 9 days they fell, confounded chaos roared, and felt tenfold confusion in their fall, through his wild anarchy, so huge a rout encumbered him with ruin. Hell, at last, yawning, received them whole, and on them closed. Hell, their fit habitation, fraught with fire, unquenchable, the house of woe and pain. Disburdened heaven rejoiced, and soon repaired her mural breach, returning whence it rolled. Sole victor from the expulsion of his foes, Messiah his triumphal chariot turned, to meet him all his saints, who silent stood, eyewitnesses of his almighty acts, with jubilee advanced. And as they went, shaded with branching palm, each order bright, sung triumph, and him sung victorious king, Son, heir, and lord, to him dominion given, worthiest to reign. He celebrated rode, triumphant through mid-heaven, into the courts and temple of his mighty father throned on high, who into glory him received, where now he sits at the right hand of bliss. Thus measuring things in heaven by things on earth, at thy request, and that thou mayest beware by what is past, to thee I have revealed what might have else to human race been hid, the discord which befell, and war in heaven, among the angelic powers, and the deep fall of those too high aspiring, who rebelled with Satan, he who envies now thy state, who now is plotting how he may seduce thee also from obedience, that with him, bereaved of happiness, thou mayest partake his punishment, eternal misery, which would be all his solace and revenge, as a despite done against the Most High, thee once to gain companion of his woe. But listen not to his temptations, warn thy weaker, let it profit thee to have heard by terrible example the reward of disobedience. Firm they might have stood, yet fell. Remember and fear to transgress.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
Paradise Lost by John Milton. Book 7, The Argument. Raphael, at the request of Adam, relates how and wherefore this world was first created. That God, after the expelling of Satan and his angels out of heaven, declared his pleasure to create another world and other creatures to dwell therein, sends his Son with glory and attendance of angels to perform the work of creation in 6 days. The angels celebrate with hymns the performance thereof, and his reascension into heaven. Descend from heaven, Urania, by that name, if rightly thou art called, whose voice divine, following above the Olympian hill I saw, above the flight of Pegasian wing. The meaning, not the name, I call for thou, nor of the Muses nine, nor on the top of old Olympus dwellst, but heavenly-born, before the hills appeared, or fountain flowed. Thou with eternal wisdom didst converse, wisdom thy sister, and with her didst play, in presence of the Almighty Father, pleased with thy celestial song. Upled by thee, into the heaven of heavens I have presumed an earthly guest, and drawn imperial air, thy tempering, with like safety guided down, return me to my native element. Lest from this flying steed unreined, as once Bellerophon, though from a lower clime, dismounted on the Alaean field I fall, erroneous there to wander and forlorn. Half yet remains unsung, but narrower bound within the visible diurnal sphere. Standing on earth not wrapped above the pole, more safe I sing with mortal voice, unchanged to hoarse or mute, though fallen on evil days, though fallen, and evil tongues, in darkness and with dangers compassed round, and solitude, yet not alone while thou visit'st my slumbers nightly, or when morn purples the east. Still govern thou my song, Urania, and fit audience find, though few. But drive far off the barbarous dissonance of Bacchus and his revellers, the race of that wild rout that tore the Thracian bard in Rhodope, where woods and rocks had ears, to rapture, till the savage clamour drowned both harp and voice. Nor could the muse defend her son, so fail not thou who thee implores, for thou art heavenly, she an empty dream. Say, goddess, what ensued when Raphael, the affable archangel, had forewarned Adam by dire example to beware apostasy, by what befell in heaven to those apostates, lest the like befall in paradise to Adam or his race. Charge not to touch the interdicted tree. If they transgress and slight that sole command, so easily obeyed amid the choice of all tastes else to please their appetite, though wandering. He, with his consorted Eve, the story heard attentive, and was filled with admiration and deep muse to hear of things so high and strange, things to their thought so unimaginable as hate in heaven, and war so near the peace of God in bliss with such confusion. But the evil soon, driven back, redounded as a flood on those from whom it sprung, impossible to mix with blessedness. Whence Adam soon repealed the doubts that in his heart arose, and now, led on, yet sinless, with desire to know what nearer might concern him, how this world of heaven and earth conspicuous first began, when and whereof created, for what cause, what within Eden or without was done, before his memory, as one whose drouth yet scarce allayed still eyes the current stream, whose liquid murmur heard new thirst excites, proceeded thus to ask his heavenly guest. Great things and full of wonder in our ears, far differing from this world thou hast revealed, divine interpreter, by favour sent, down from the Empyrean to forewarn us timely of what might else have been our loss, unknown which human knowledge could not reach, for which to the infinitely good we owe immortal thanks, and his admonishment receive with solemn purpose to observe immutably his sovereign will, the end of what we are. But since thou hast vouchsafed gently for our instruction to impart things above earthly thought, which yet concerned our knowing, as to highest wisdom seemed, deign to descend now lower, and relate what may no less perhaps avail us known, how first began this heaven which we behold, distant so high, with moving fires adorned innumerable, and this which yields or fills all space, the ambient air wide interfused, embracing round this florid earth? What cause moved the Creator in his holy rest, through all eternity so late to build in chaos, and the work begun, how soon absolved, if unforbid thou mayst unfold what we, not to explore the secrets, ask of his eternal empire, but the more to magnify his works, the more we know. And the great light of day yet wants to run much of his race, though steep, suspense in heaven, held by thy potent voice he hears, and longer will delay to hear thee tell his generation, and the rising birth of nature from the unapparent deep. Or, if the star of evening and the moon haste to thy audience, night with her will bring silence, and sleep, listening to thee, will watch. Or we can bid his absence till thy song end, and dismiss thee ere the morning shine. Thus Adam his illustrious guest besought, and thus the godlike angel answered mild. This also thy request with caution asked, obtain. Though to recount almighty works, what words or tongue of seraph can suffice, or heart of man suffice to comprehend? Yet what thou canst attain, which best may serve to glorify the Maker, and infer thee also happier, shall not be withheld thy hearing. Such commission from above I have received, to answer thy desire of knowledge within bounds. Beyond abstain to ask, nor let thine own inventions hope things not revealed, which the invisible King, only omniscient, hath suppressed in night, to none communicable in earth or heaven. Enough is left besides to search and know. But knowledge is as food, and needs no less her temperance over appetite to know in measure what the mind may well contain, oppresses else with surfeit, and soon turns wisdom to folly as nourishment to wind. Know then that after Lucifer from heaven, so call him, brighter once amidst the host of angels than that star the stars among, fell with his flaming legions through the deep into his place, and the great Son returned, victorious with his saints, the omnipotent, eternal Father from his throne beheld their multitude, and to his Son thus spake. At least our envious foe hath failed, who thought all like himself rebellious, by whose aid this inaccessible high strength, the seat of deity supreme, us dispossessed he trusted to have seized, and into fraud drew many, whom their place knows here no more. Yet far the greater part have kept, I see, their station. Heaven yet populous retains number sufficient to possess her realms, though wide, and this high temple to frequent with ministeries due and solemn rites. But lest his heart exalt him in the harm already done, to have dispeopled heaven, my damage fondly deemed, I can repair that detriment, if such it be, to lose self-lost, and in a moment will create another world, out of one man a race of men innumerable there to dwell. Not here, till by degrees of merit raised, they open to themselves at length the way, up hither, under long obedience tried, and earth be changed to heaven and heaven to earth. One kingdom, joy and union without end. Meanwhile inhabit lax, ye powers of heaven, and thou, my word, begotten Son, by thee this I perform, speak thou, and be it done. My overshadowing spirit and might with thee I send along, ride forth and bid the deep, within appointed bounds, be heaven and earth, boundless the deep, because I am who fill infinitude, nor vacuous the space. Though I uncircumscribed myself retire, and put not forth my goodness, which is free to act or not, necessity and chance approach not me, and what I will is fate. So spake the Almighty, and to what he spake his word the filial Godhead gave effect. Immediate are the acts of God, more swift than time or motion, but to human ears cannot without process of speech be told, so told as earthly notion can receive. Great triumph and rejoicing was in heaven when such was heard declared the Almighty's will. Glory they sung to the Most High, good will to future men, and in their dwellings peace. Glory to him whose just avenging ire had driven out the ungodly from his sight, and the habitations of the just. To him, glory and praise, whose wisdom had ordained good out of evil to create, instead of spirits malign, a better race to bring into their vacant room, and thence diffuse his good to worlds and ages infinite. So sang the hierarchies. Meanwhile, the sun, on his great expedition, now appeared, girt with omnipotence, with radiance crowned, of majesty divine, sapience and love immense. And all his father in him shone. About his chariot numberless were poured cherub and seraph, potentates and thrones, and virtues, winged spirits and chariots winged, from the armoury of God, where stand of old myriads between two brazen mountains lodged against a solemn day, harnessed at hand celestial equipage, and now came forth spontaneous, for within them spirit lived, attendant on their lord. Heaven opened wide, her ever-during gates, harmonious sound, on golden hinges moving, to let forth the King of Glory in his powerful word, and spirit coming to create new worlds. On heavenly ground they stood, and from the shore they viewed the vast immeasurable abyss, outrageous as a sea, dark, wasteful, wild, up from the bottom turned by furious winds and surging waves, as mountains to assault heaven's highest, and with the centre mix the pole. "Silence, ye troubled waves, and thou deep peace," said the omnific word, "your discord end." Nor stayed, but on the wings of cherubim uplifted, in paternal glory rode, far into chaos and the world unborn. For chaos heard his voice, him all his train followed in bright procession to behold creation and the wonders of his might. Then stayed the fervid wheels, and in his hand he took the golden compasses, prepared in God's eternal store, to circumscribe this universe and all created things. One foot he centered, and the other turned round through the vast profundity obscure, and said, "Thus far extend, thus far thy bounds. This be thy just circumference, O world." Thus God the heaven created, thus the earth, matter unformed and void, darkness profound, covered the abyss. But on the watery calm his brooding wings the Spirit of God outspread, and vital virtue infused, and vital warmth throughout the fluid mass, but downward purged the black Tartarus cold infernal dregs, adverse to life. Then founded, then conglobed, like things to like, the rest to several place disparted, and between spun out the air, and earth self-balanced on her centre hung. "Let there be light," said God, and forthwith light, ethereal, first of things, quintessence pure, sprung from the deep, and from her native east to journey through the airy gloom began. Sphered in a radiant cloud, for yet the sun was not, she in a cloudy tabernacle sojourned the while. God saw the light was good, and light from darkness by the hemisphere divided, light the day and darkness night, he named. Thus was the first day even and morn, nor passed uncelebrated, nor unsung, by the celestial choirs, when orient light, exhaling first from darkness, they beheld. Birthday of heaven and earth, with joy and shout the hollow universal orb they filled, and touched their golden harps, and hymning praised God and his works, Creator hymn they sung, both when first evening was and when first morn. Again God said, "Let there be firmament amid the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament expansive liquid, pure, transparent, elemental air, diffused in circuit to the uttermost convex of this great round. Partition firm and sure the waters underneath from those above, dividing. For as earth, so he, the world, built on circumfluous waters, calm in wide crystalline ocean, and the loud misrule of chaos far removed, lest fierce extremes contiguous might distemper the whole frame. And heaven he named the firmament, so even and morning chorus sung the second day. The earth was formed, but in the womb as yet, of waters, embryon, immature, involved, appeared not. Over all the face of earth main ocean flowed, not idle, but with warm, prolific humour softening all her globe, fermented the great mother to conceive, satiate with genial moisture, when God said, "Be gathered now, ye waters under heaven, into one place, and let dry land appear." Immediately the mountains huge appear, emergent, and their broad bare backs upheave into the clouds, their tops ascend the sky. So high as heaved the tumid hills, so low down sunk a hollow bottom broad and deep, capacious bed of waters. Thither they, hasted with glad precipitance, uprolled as drops on dust conglobing from the dry. Part rise in crystal wall or ridge direct, for haste, such flight the great command impressed on the swift floods, as armies at the call of trumpet, for of armies thou hast heard, troop to their standard, so the watery throng, wave rolling after wave, where way they found, if steep, with torrent rapture, if through plain, soft ebbing, nor withstood them rock or hill, but they, or underground, or circuit wide, with serpent error wandering, found their way, and on the washy ooze deep channels wore. Easy, ere God had bid the ground be dry, all but within those banks where rivers now stream and perpetual draw their humid train. The dry land, earth, and the great receptacle of congregated waters he called seas, and saw that it was good, and said, "Let the earth put forth the verdant grass herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after her kind, whose seed is in herself upon the earth." He scarce had said, when the bare earth, till then desert and bare, unsightly, unadorned, brought forth the tender grass, whose verdure clad her universal face with pleasant green. Then herbs of every leaf that sudden flowered, opening their various colours and made gay, her bosom smelling sweet, and these scarce blown, forth flourished thick the clustering vine, forth crept the swelling gourd, up stood the corny reed, embattled in her field, add the humble shrub, and bush with frizzled hair implicit, last rose as in dance the stately trees, and spread their branches hung with copious fruit, or gemmed their blossoms. With high woods the hills were crowned, with tufts the valleys and each fountain side, with borders long the rivers. That earth now seemed like to heaven, a seat where gods might dwell, or wander with delight and love to haunt her sacred shades. Though God had yet not reigned upon the earth, and man to till the ground none was, but from the earth a dewy mist went up and watered all the ground, and each plant of the field, which ere it was in the earth, God made, and every herb before it grew on the green stem, God saw that it was good, so even and morn recorded the third day. Again the Almighty spake, "Let there be lights high in the expanse of heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days, encircling years. And let them be for lights as I ordain their office in the firmament of heaven to give light on the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, great for their use to man, the greater to have rule by day, the less by night all turn, and made the stars, and set them in the firmament of heaven, to illuminate the earth, and rule the day in their vicissitude, and rule the night, and light from darkness to divide. God saw, surveying his great work, that it was good. For of celestial bodies first the sun, a mighty sphere he framed, unlightsome first, though of ethereal mould. Then formed the moon, globose, and every magnitude of stars, and sowed with stars the heaven thick as a field. Of light, by far the greater part he took, transplanted from her cloudy shrine, and placed in the sun's orb, made porous to receive and drink the liquid light, firm to retain her gathered beams, great palace now of light. Hither, as to their fountain, other stars, repairing in their golden urns, draw light, and hence the morning planet gilds her horns. By tincture or reflection they augment their small peculiar, though from human sight so far remote, with diminution seen. First in his east the glorious lamp was seen, regent of day, and all the horizon round, invested with bright rays, jocund to run his longitude through heaven's high road. The grey dawn and the Pleiades before him danced, shedding sweet influence. Less bright the moon, but opposite in levelled west, was set his mirror, with full face borrowing her light from him, for other light she needed none, in that aspect, and still that distance keeps, till night. Then in the east her turn she shines, revolved on heaven's great axle, and her reign with thousand lesser lights dividual holds, with thousand stars, that then appeared spangling the hemisphere. Then first adorned with their bright luminaries that set and rose, glad evening and glad morn crowned the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters generate, reptile with spawn abundant, living soul, and let fowl fly above the earth with wings displayed on the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales, and each soul living, each that crept, which plenteously the waters generated by their kinds, and every bird of wing after his kind, and saw that it was good, and blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, multiply, and in the seas and lakes and running streams the waters fill, and let the fowl be multiplied on the earth. Forthwith the sounds and seas, each creek and bay, with fry innumerable swarm, and shoals of fish that with their fins and shining scales glide under the green wave in skulls that oft bank the mid-sea. Part single or with mate, graze the seaweed their pasture, and through groves of coral stray, or sporting with quick glance, show to the sun their waved coats dropped with gold, or in their pearly shells at ease attend moist nutriment, or under rocks their food in jointed armour watch. On smooth the seal and bended dolphins play, part huge of bulk, wallowing, unwieldy, enormous in their gait, tempest the ocean. There, Leviathan, hugest of living creatures, on the deep, stretched like a promontory, sleeps or swims, and seems a moving land, and at his gills draws in, and at his trunk spouts out a sea. Meanwhile the tepid caves and fens and shores, their brood as numerous hatch, from the egg that soon, bursting with kindly rupture, forth disclosed their callow young. But feathered soon, and fledged, they summed their pens, and soaring the air sublime, with clang despised the ground, under a cloud in prospect. There the eagle and the stork, on cliffs and cedar tops their eyries build, part loosely wing the region, part more wise, in common, ranged in figure, wedge their way, intelligent of seasons, and set forth their airy caravan high over seas, flying, and over lands with mutual wing, easing their flight. So steers the prudent crane her annual voyage, borne on winds. The air floats as they pass, fanned with unnumbered plumes. From branch to branch the smaller birds with song solaced the woods and spread their painted wings till even, nor then the solemn nightingale ceased warbling, but all night tuned her soft lays. Others on silver lakes and rivers bathed their downy breast, the swan with arched neck between her white wings mantling proudly rose her state with oary feet. Yet oft they quit the dank, and rising on stiff pennons, tower the mid-aerial sky. Others on ground walked firm, the crested cock whose clarion sounds the silent hours, and the other whose gay train adorns him, coloured with the florid hue of rainbows and starry eyes. The waters thus with fish replenished, and the air with fowl, evening and morn solemnized the fifth day. The sixth, and the creation last arose with evening harps and matin, when God said, Let the earth bring forth soul living in her kind, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth, each in their kind. The earth obeyed, and straight opening her fertile womb, teemed at a birth in numerous living creatures, perfect forms, limbed and full grown. Out of the ground uprose, as from his lair, the wild beast, where he wons in forest wild, in thicket, brake, or den. Among the trees in pairs they rose, they walked, the cattle in the fields and meadows green, Those rare and solitary, these in flocks, pasturing at once, and in broad herds upsprung. The grassy clods now calved, now half appeared the tawny lion, pawing to get free his hinder parts, then springs as broke from bonds, and rampant shakes his brinded mane. The ounce, the libbard, and the tiger, as the mole, rising the crumbled earth above them, threw in hillocks. The swift stag from underground bore up his branching head. Scarce from his mould, Behemoth, biggest born of earth, upheaved his vastness, fleeced the flocks, and bleating rose as plants. Ambiguous between sea and land, the river horse and scaly crocodile. At once came forth whatever creeps the ground, insect or worm. Those waved their limber fans for wings, and smallest lineaments exact in all the liveries decked of summer's pride, with spots of gold and purple, azure and green. These, as a line, their long dimension drew, streaking the ground with sinuous trace. Not all minims of nature, some of serpent kind, wondrous in length and corpulence, involved their snaky folds and added wings. First crept the parsimonious emmet, provident of future, in small room, large heart enclosed. Pattern of just equality, perhaps, hereafter, joined in her popular tribes of commonalty. Swarming next appeared the female bee that feeds her husband drone deliciously, and builds her waxen cells with honey stored. The rest are numberless, and thou their natures knowest and gavest them names. Needless to thee repeated, nor unknown, the serpent subtlest beast of all the field, of huge extent sometimes, with brazen eyes and hairy mane, terrific, though to thee not noxious, but obedient at thy call. Now heaven in all her glory shone, and rolled her motions, as the great first mover's hand first wheeled their course. Earth in her rich attire, consummate lovely smiled, air, water, earth, by fowl, fish, beast, was flown, was swum, was walked, frequent, and of the sixth day yet remained. There wanted yet the masterwork, the end of all yet done, a creature who not prone and brute as other creatures, but endued with sanctity of reason, might erect his stature, and upright with front serene, govern the rest, self-knowing, and from thence magnanimous to correspond with heaven, but grateful to acknowledge whence his good descends, thither with heart and voice and eyes, directed in devotion to adore and worship God supreme, who made him chief of all his works. Therefore the omnipotent, eternal Father, for where is not he present, thus to his Son audibly spake, "Let us make now man in our image, man in our similitude, and let them rule over the fish and fowl of sea and air, beast of the field, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps the ground." This said, he formed thee, Adam, thee, O man, dust of the ground, and in thy nostrils breathed the breath of life. In his own image he created thee, in the image of God express, and thou becamest a living soul. Male he created thee, but thy consort female for race, then blessed mankind and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, and throughout dominion hold over fish of the sea and fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth." Wherever thus created, for no place is yet distinct by name, thence, as thou knowest, he brought thee into this delicious grove, this garden planted with the trees of God, delectable both to behold and taste. And freely all their pleasant fruit for food gave thee. All sorts are here that all the earth yields, variety without end. But of the tree which tasted works knowledge of good and evil, thou mayst not. In the day thou eatst, thou diest. Death is the penalty imposed, beware, and govern well thy appetite, lest sin surprise thee, and her black attendant, death. Here finished he, and all that he had made, viewed, and behold, all was entirely good. So even and morn accomplished the sixth day. Yet not till the creator from his work desisting, though unwearied, up-returned, up to the heaven of heavens his high abode, thence to behold his new created world, the addition of his empire, how it showed in prospect from his throne, how good, how fair, answering his great idea, up he rode, followed with acclamation and the sound symphonious of 10,000 harps that tuned angelic harmonies. The earth, the air, resounded, thou rememberest, for thou heardst. The heavens and all the constellations rung, the planets in their stations listening stood, while the bright pomp ascended, jubilant. Open ye everlasting gates, they sung. Open ye heavens your living doors. Let in the great Creator from his work returned, magnificent, his 6 days' work a world. Open and henceforth oft, for God will deign to visit oft the dwellings of just men, delighted, and with frequent intercourse thither will send his winged messengers on errands of supernal grace. So sung the glorious train ascending. He, through heaven that opened wide her blazing portals, led to God's eternal house direct the way, a broad and ample road, whose dust is gold, and pavement stars, as stars to thee appear, seen in the galaxy, that milky way, which nightly as a circling zone thou seest, powdered with stars. And now on earth the seventh evening arose in Eden, for the sun was set, and twilight from the east came on, forerunning night. When at the holy mount, of heaven's high-seated top, the imperial throne of Godhead fixed forever firm and sure, the filial power arrived and sat him down with his great father, for he also went invisible, yet stayed. Such privilege hath omnipresence, and the work ordained, author and end of all things, and from work, now resting, blessed and hallowed, the seventh day, as resting on that day from all his work, but not in silence wholly kept. The harp had work and rested not, the solemn pipe, and dulcimer, all organs of sweet stop, all sounds on fret by string or golden wire, tempered soft tunings intermixed with voice, choral or unison, of incense clouds fuming from golden censers hid the mount. Creation and the 6 days' acts, they sung, great are thy works, Jehovah, infinite thy power, what thought can measure thee, or tongue relate thee, greater now in thy return than from the giant angels. Thee that day thy thunders magnified, but to create is greater than created to destroy. Who can impair thee, mighty king, or bound thy empire? Easily the proud attempt of spirits apostate and their counsels vain thou hast repelled, while impiously they thought thee to diminish, and from thee withdraw the number of thy worshippers. Who seeks to lessen thee against his purpose serves to manifest the more thy might. His evil thou usest, and from thence createst more good. Witness this new-made world, another heaven, from heaven-gate not far, founded in view on the clear Hyaline, the glassy sea, of amplitude almost immense, with stars numerous, and every star perhaps a world of destined habitation. But thou knowest their seasons. Among these the seat of men, earth, with her nether ocean circumfused, their pleasant dwelling-place. Thrice happy men and sons of men, whom God hath thus advanced, created in his image, there to dwell and worship him, and in reward to rule over his works, on earth, in sea, or air, and multiply a race of worshippers, holy and just. Thrice happy if they know their happiness and persevere upright. So sung they, and the Empyrean rung with hallelujahs. Thus was Sabbath kept. And thy request think now fulfilled, that asked how first this world and face of things began, and what before thy memory was done from the beginning, that posterity, informed by thee, might know. If else thou seek'st aught not surpassing human measure, say. Book 8. The Argument. Adam inquires concerning celestial motions, is doubtfully answered, and exhorted to search rather things more worthy of knowledge, Adam assents, and still desirous to detain Raphael, relates to him what he remembered since his own creation, his placing in paradise, his talk with God concerning solitude and fit society, his first meeting and nuptials with Eve, his discourse with the angel thereupon, who, after admonitions repeated, departs. The angel ended, and in Adam's ear so charming left his voice that he, a while, thought him still speaking, still stood fixed to hear. Then, as new waked, thus gratefully replied, "What thanks sufficient, or what recompense equal have I to render thee, divine historian, who thus largely hast allayed the thirst I had of knowledge, and vouchsafed this friendly condescension to relate, things else by me unsearchable, now heard with wonder, but delight, and as is due, with glory attributed to the high Creator. Something yet of doubt remains, which only thy solution can resolve. When I behold this goodly frame, this world of heaven and earth consisting, and compute their magnitudes, this earth a spot, a grain, an atom, with the firmament compared, and all her numbered stars that seem to roll spaces incomprehensible, for such their distance argues and their swift return diurnal, merely to officiate light round this opacous earth, this punctual spot, one day and night, in all their vast survey useless besides, reasoning I oft admire how nature wise and frugal could commit such disproportions with superfluous hand, so many nobler bodies to create, greater so manifold, to this one use, for aught appears, and on their orbs impose such restless revolution day by day, repeated, while a sedentary earth, that better might with far less compass move, served by more noble than herself, attains her end without least motion, and receives, as tribute such a sumless journey brought of incorporeal speed, her warmth and light, speed to describe whose swiftness number fails. So spake our sire, and by his countenance seemed entering on studious thoughts abstruse, which Eve, perceiving where she sat retired in sight, with lowliness majestic from her seat, and grace that one who saw to wish her stay, rose and went forth among her fruits and flowers, to visit how they prospered, bud and bloom, her nursery, they at her coming sprung, and touched by her fair tendance gladlier grew. Yet when she not as not with such discourse delighted, or not capable her ear of what was high, such pleasure she reserved, Adam relating, she sole auditress. Her husband, the relator, she preferred before the angel, and of him to ask, chose rather. He, she knew, would intermix grateful digressions, and solve high dispute with conjugal caresses. From his lip, not words alone pleased her. Oh, when meet now such pairs in love and mutual honour joined! With goddess-like demeanour forth she went, not unattended, for on her as queen a pomp of winning graces waited still, and from about her shot darts of desire into all eyes to wish her still in sight. And Raphael now to Adam's doubt proposed, benevolent and facile, thus replied, "To ask or search I blame thee not, for heaven is as the book of God before thee set, wherein to read his wondrous works and learn his seasons, hours, or days, or months, or years. This to attain, whether heaven move or earth, imports not, if thou reckon right. The rest, from man or angel, the great architect did wisely to conceal, and not divulge his secrets to be scanned by them who ought, rather admire. Or if they list to try, conjecture, he his fabric of the heavens hath left to their disputes, perhaps to move his laughter at their quaint opinions wide hereafter, when they come to model heaven, and calculate the stars, how they will wield the mighty frame, how build, unbuild, contrive to save appearances, how gird the sphere with centric and eccentric scribbled o'er, cycle and epicycle orb in all. Already by thy reasoning this I guess, who art to lead thy offspring, and supposest that bodies bright and greater should not serve the less not bright, nor heaven such journeys run, earth sitting still, when she alone receives the benefit. Consider first that great or bright infers not excellence, the earth, though in comparison of heaven so small, nor glistering, may of solid good contain more plenty than the sun that barren shines, whose virtue on itself works no effect. But in the fruitful earth, there first received his beams, unactive else, their vigour find. Yet not to earth are those bright luminaries officious, but to thee earth's habitant. And for the heaven's wide circuit let it speak, the Maker's high magnificent, who built so spacious, and his line stretched out so far, that man may know he dwells not in his own, an edifice too large for him to fill,